Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Pastor Sterling, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, I need you to introduce yourself to my listeners.
Yes, my name is Sterling Love. I am the pastor of Bethany Pembroke Chapel as of July this year. Also, too, I've been involved with various ministries, the Challenge Ministries, in terms of the working with discipling young men and even young women to grow closer in Christ. I've also had the privilege of serving with Moody Bible Institute with their satellite locations here in the Michigan area. So love just being a part of what God is doing and the opportunity of ministry. So appreciate being a part of the show, but it's great. And I just appreciate the goodness of God, especially this time of year as we can celebrate the Christmas and the Christmas season.
Yes, and I agree because I do like this time of year. The only thing is, I love snow, so I'm a little bit disappointed right about now. So anyway, but okay. I was saying that there are some people who are depressed during this time of year for whatever reason. Maybe they don't have families, or it could be any number of things. But I did say that, you know, listen to people and listen to what they're saying and how they're saying it. And that way you may be able to kind of pick on some things, and you
absolutely
might can help them.
In fact, there's a young lady I know now, and God bless her. She back in the spring, to your point, too, is celebrating the first Christmas without her husband passed away this past spring. And this is the first Christmas that she's celebrating without him. So, no, that's a very interesting point that you make in terms of how this is a great time of year, but it also can be depressing. But, you know, in a situation like that, I think it really does call for us as a body, as people, as people of God, to embrace those because there may be a person or persons who, as you mentioned, are displaced from their families. And that allows the body of Christ to kick in terms of being that family to those who have been displaced or feel depressed or whatever the case might be. So that just really should urge us a great deal in terms of our ministry, in terms of our concern for the people in our communities and within the body.
Yes, it just seems like now this is something that I've heard down through the years, that every year has its number. And it seems to me that during this time, when the end of the year is coming, it seems like, you know, you get a flood of people dying. Maybe that's just something that I, you know, imagined or whatever, but I don't know. I guess every year does have its number. I don't know. None of us know.
Yeah, no, we don't. And that's the thing about it. Really, I think if anything, it emphasizes more so than ever why we trust in the Lord, because even for myself, we never know when that day may come. And
that's right.
That's really all in the Lord's hand. I mean, even
and I'm glad we don't
many,
know.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
You know, it's amazing to that point. You'd be surprised even how many failed suicide attempts occur, because it lets you know it's really truly in God's hands. It really is.
Yes.
And when God determines that day, so no, it really does put an emphasis on us to trust in the Lord.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So, I know there was something else I wanted to ask you. Okay, but we're going to say that we're going to keep Christ in Christmas tonight. He
Absolutely.
Will definitely be glorified tonight. So I'm going to go to a commercial, and we will be back.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know? If you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking about the commercialization of Christmas with Pastor Love. So, Pastor Love, there was something else you wanted to say other than talking about us spending money all year, and then we have to pay for it the following year.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I read a stat of how many Americans truly will go in debt. It's a staggering number. I believe it's like 80 in the 80 percentile. And I'm just going off the top of my head. So that number, I believe that number is right though. But it's just amazing how much we go into debt in terms of the investment of the Christmas shopping, the Christmas season. You talk about the commercialization, and even our society is very much trying to encourage the consumerism, the commercialization of it. Starting from, I would say this, Jenny, I'm telling my age here, I think. I remember back in the day, you didn't really start the commercialization and the advertisement of Christmas until Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving, right. But
yeah.
Now you know what they're doing. They're taking people away from their families during Thanksgiving to come and pick up what you need right now, Black Friday.
Yeah.
Purple Tuesday,
so,
whatever.
Yeah, literally, yeah. I mean, and literally after October, after the Halloween season has passed, you pretty much forget there's a Thanksgiving, but you're right to Christmas with the decorations, the commercialization, the advertisement, just everything. It's full blown. So commercialization, consumerism, it really takes a full toll. So you really, obviously, the message of Christ completely gets lost. But it really is more so about the commercialization, the consumerism, how much we can consume as a people in terms of the investment. And it's amazing because a lot of we buy for each other, for our children. There's a passage that reads in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus says that you lay your treasures in heaven. And the thing is about it is by the time we get so much caught up in to the commercialization, the consumerism here, you forget that there's actually a Christ message somewhere in there, but there's no investment in that. There's no millions of dollars in that. Literally, it's all about the latest Xbox One. I don't want to get the Xbox One for Christmas, but the thing about it is, so much of investment is happening with what we have here. When we forget about the investment in terms of what should be laid up in heaven as far as our treasures are concerned.
But what gets me is, they say that, well, some businesses rely so much on it that they couldn't survive without the Christmas season. They don't do that well during the year, and the Christmas season is the one that really puts them over the top. But my thing is, why all these businesses take these people from their families, because, I got to go to work and I'm getting time and a half and, let me hurry up and eat. You don't have time to be with family. And that's what it's all about.
But you know what? Now, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because the first thing that when you brought that to my I'm reminded of a passage in Acts chapter 19. When you read about toward the latter part of that chapter, how the people who wanted to create the idols, the figurines of the idols, because they would preach in the book of Acts up until Paul that God is made with hands. So God is made with hands, and that there's images of God. Well, Paul, of course, and the Christian and the church would preach an imageless gospel. Well, the problem is when you deal with that church in Asia Minor, there in Acts chapter 19, their concern is, well, if there's no God made with hands, our business is no longer good. And that, to your point, just like then, the church tries to has to take these stands, and it will affect the economy, and we will be the bad guys sometimes with the other side of that. It's not the popular message. It's not the most money, or it shouldn't be the most money-driven message. But it's our desire to lead people to establishing a heavenly treasure, in that relationship with Christ is so vital. And even this time of year, of course, as we want to still give, a kid his Xbox One for Christmas or PlayStation 4, we also don't want to ever gloss over the importance of still, even if you have this, there's a greater significance in the person of Christ that you can still identify with that can actually bring about salvation, that leads to a heavenly treasure beyond the toys, the clothes, and the various things we purchase for ourselves and for each other.
Well, we have to continue to keep in front of them that these are material things, and that when we leave here, they're going to stay.
Yes.
There's nothing that we can take with us. So we have to teach our children to not be so, material looking, like we got to have the biggest cars and all of that. That stuff is going to be here when you're gone. And from what I understand, that the study that I read said, most of the time when people are lying on their deathbed, all of them don't get that opportunity, because sometimes people are just gone. But some lie on their deathbed, and the one thing they say that they regret is the fact that they didn't spend time with their families. So I would say, spend the time with your families, even if not everybody got a crazy family member. Let's just be real about this thing. But what? Still belong to us. They still belong to us, and we should do everything that we can in order to bring them, if they're gone, back into the fold, and to love them no matter what. No matter what, because that's the only thing that really matters. That's why Christ came. He came because he loved us, and he sacrificed his life for us. Mm-hmm. And our thing is to allow him to lead, because I have found out, in trying to do this thing myself, because I know what's best for me, turned out that it wasn't so good.
You know what? It's so funny with that, because as I'm listening to you, Jenny, you're talking about, the emphasis of how everybody wants and what they have. I would think the person who's so bought into having the material stuff and feel that they have to have it, I would always challenge that individual to read the story of Ecclesiastes, because you read of, who most believe would be Solomon. I believe that would be Solomon as well. It speaks of how he had
right.
everything and that he had the desire for everything. But even at the end of it all, he yes. can say, I literally had it all and it meant nothing. And I think that's what a lot of people are really struggling with. I want it all, I can have it all, but then you realize there's a point when it comes, when you talk about the devoid of family, the devoid of the void of God, the void of other various things that are truly valuable, as opposed to the material items, the monetary
right.
items, and things of that nature. You look at it, and at the end of it all, there are the people who come at the end of their life and realize, man, even with
yeah.
all that I had
yeah.
materialistically. I
yeah.
really had nothing, and that's what Solomon is saying. I had nothing. I saw everything I wanted.
And they're still not happy. They are not
no.
happy.
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
you mention that, the idols and things, Christ said, don't make unto me any graven images.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, we don't know how he looks.
Mm-hmm.
But people have shoved a particular image in front of us. And we think that, I guess people think that's how he looks. I don't know. I don't
yeah.
have any pictures in my house.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like
you know, and even within the midst of the Christmas message, this is going to sound very silly, and I hope if the listeners out there, this doesn't sound too trivial. that's why I think one of my favorite Christmas specials to this date that I think really gives us a real clear view of Christmas if you watch it, and it's only a few minutes long. I know somebody laugh at this when they hear it, the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And the reason why
I love Charlie Brown. I love him. I love him.
Yeah, and the reason I reference that is it actually does give you a tinge of the commercialism that Charlie Brown is trying to struggle against. But in the midst of that, the message of Christ comes through with Linus' speech, and that he actually reads and recites from Luke chapter 2 when he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David,
right.
the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so that even in the midst of that, he's trying to give that, as Charlie Brown asked the question in his frustration, what is Christmas all about? And that's what Linus gives us the answer, that Christ is born. And I think it's amazing that even something as simple as that, the cartoon, the cartoon is
right.
Charlie Brown, there's still a lot of truth even in that, even today where our society really needs to key in on, we get so caught up in commercialism and even just, Jenny, the discussion, oh, my gosh, where am I going to get so-and-so for Christmas? I have no idea.
Right.
I say that as I still got to buy my wife's Christmas gift, too, and I will get
okay.
Picture,
I hope she's not listening.
That will get handled. Yeah, I know, right. But big picture is that we stress out about that in so many directions and that there's still a Christ-centered message that we can't let get lost in the midst of it.
But, I just think people go a little bit too far, especially with this social media thing. People mm-hmm. think they have a right to say, you didn't look good in that. Why do you have that on? And, my thing is this. Why would you put a picture of yourself on social media for people to come out and, comment on it that way, because they think they know what you should be doing, what you should be wearing, what you should be eating. Social media has just gone over the top. Now they're talking about taking the song out of Christmas about I really can't stay, baby, it's cold outside, That song. They want to take that away because the Me Too people say, that's not a good song because he's trying to, I guess, do whatever, But I think that's a little bit over the top to me. That song has been in existence probably way before some of these people were born.
Yeah,
and now they
yeah.
want to take it out because they don't think it should be. Sometimes we can go over the top.
Yeah.
Having said that, let me say this. I would like to tell my listeners, I know you're listening, so if you have a comment or you want to ask a question, all you have to do is press the 1 on your phone and you will be in queue and you can ask Pastor Love anything. I'm sure he has the answer. Okay, Pastor. What were you going to say?
No, all I was going to say is that, regards to social media, the thoughts and other various elements, the songs, the thing about that is this, is that that's the one thing about the social media age more than ever, for better or for worse, is that now everybody's allowed to have an opinion. And
That's,
well, I'm sorry, let me take that back. Everybody's allowed to express their opinion. So having one is one thing. Expressing it, the freedom to express it, can be where it gets to be a bit problematic, to say the least. Because now you've learned, just in the social media, you know, it's funny because I was scrolling my Facebook page and just listening to a lot of the, reading a lot of the depression that's on there and the thoughts and the opinions that people have. It's very, very a mixed bag of people's opinions, thoughts, ideas. And, you know, you're praying and hoping that there's still, that doesn't get lost, a Christ-centered ideology in the midst, and that Christ is still the center of all of this that we do, and so in doing so, we never want to take the perspective of Christ out of our opinions, our thoughts, even though, you know, in our most frustrating times and moments, we still keep Christ at the forefront of what we do.
Yes, and like I said, we have to let go of the reins and let Him take the lead, because, like I said earlier, it's not a pretty picture when you think you know what's good for you and what's good for your life, and you don't consult Christ in any kind of way. He'll say, okay, you know, you go ahead and do your thing. And
we
all fall down. And some of us get up and we go right back again. But I, you know, tell people, or tell my students, you can't pass to third grade until you pass the second grade.
Right.
And if you're not following Christ, then you will go around this mountain for as long as it takes for you to finally say, okay, Lord, what is it you would have me to do? Because He's the one that came down, gave His life, His life. Nobody took it from Him, you know, to save us. We belong to Him. And I found out the best thing you can do is give it over to Him, and you will have the best result. Oh, my gosh. Better than you can ever think. I always reference Joshua 1:8. You know, if you keep me in front of you as you go, you will have make your way prosperous and have good success.
Yeah. Good success, yeah.
You can't get any gooder. I say that, my grandson always gets on me because he knows that's not a real word. But you can't get any gooder than that. You know, you will have good success. Who doesn't want good success?
We
can have a portion of success on our own. Sure, we can. But with Christ, golly. You know, it's just so amazing. He opens doors and, you know, well, He said He'd open His windows and pour you out a blessing. You can't room enough to have room enough to receive. So that's what I believe, because I believe that. And because He's not a man that He can lie. He can't lie.
Right. No,
so
right,
Matthew 21:22 says, anything you ask, believing, you will receive. And I believe that. I believe that.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that having said, I'm not the preacher tonight.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine.
I'm not the preacher. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Listeners, you can always join in with us whenever you like.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Just Jamine is a natural line of luxury creams and lotions. From our creamy shea to our thick frappe and our therapeutic body butter, we have eliminated the petroleum, the alcohol, and the water, and use natural oils and raw shea butter. Our products are made for the hair and the body naturally. For more information, visit us at www.justjameen.com or call us at 313-279-1494. That's www.justjameen.com.
This is Terry from Texas, and I love listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit, with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
So we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight we've been talking about the commercialization of Christmas. We have talked about quite a few things, and my guest, Pastor Sterling Love, is doing a good job with telling us what we need to do and what we don't need to do. So I know you had said something about paganism. Do you want to elaborate on that one?
In a larger sense, should Christians just as a whole celebrate Christmas? And the question then is, because, of course, when we see the Christmas trees, that's a pagan symbol. When you look at the date, December 25th, obviously that was the day Christ was born. You look when Christ was born, it's probably when taxes were paid, which were closer to the springtime in the ancient world, when census was done. You're looking at the various elements that we surround as Christmas, the Santa Clauses and the various elements of that nature, and then the question then becomes, you know, as Christmas trees are set up in our Christian households and as various lights and things are put up, then should Christians then take this to celebrate, because it has the symbols of what we see as Christmas, apart from the manger, of course, is big picture, a lot of paganism, pagan roots involved, I should say it that way. So the thing about it is this, and this is my the biggest stance I have on that is that when we look at stuff in our society that has pagan roots, you'll be amazed that if we were to strip away everything in our society that has pagan roots, let's use an example, our days of the week and our months, those are really come from paganism or have pagan roots. If you think about it, let's use a day. Thursday, it comes from the Norse god of Thor or Thor's Day in the ancient world. So, and of course, some of us may not monitor the Marvel comic series. And yes, the hero Thor, he comes from the Norse god in terms of the pagan or the polytheistic culture of multiple gods. Well, the thing about it is, if we were to look at everything we do in the fiber of our where we live at, you'll find yourselves eliminating a lot of what we have and are just in America alone based on pagan roots. So my answer to that is, there's a passage, I know you're familiar with this as well, that reads in John 12:32, where if Christ be lifted up, he will draw all men to him. And I believe with Christmas, you know, if you remove the elements of commercialism, and if you remove the elements of consumerism and materialism that goes alongside that, and in terms of the folk, I should say not remove, but when you remove the focus from that, let me say it that way, I'm sorry. But when you also even further examine Christmas, it allows us as the body of Christ to, as he says, lift Christ up so men will be drawn unto him. It allows us to further emphasize, yes, there was God who came in the flesh as who desired to have a relationship with man. And so it allows us pretty much an opportunity, the body. And so as we put up our trees, for the world it may seem, hey, is this another pagan symbol? No, for me, the reason I put this up, it allows you, even if you think about it, and Jesus would use a similar concept if you're following this. We remember in the book of Numbers when the people of Israel were speaking out against God, and God allowed fiery serpents to come
right
out and attack the people. And what God did was he raised a snake on a pole, and for them to be looking up at the
right
snake. Now, keep
and
in
they
mind,
would be healed.
That's not the first time in a polytheistic culture, Israel would have been familiar with that, because you're dealing with Serapis, who was the god of healing, or you're looking at Asclepius, who was the god of healing in the Greek culture. And what Asclepius and Serapis looks like is the snake. Now, this is not even too familiar for us in our this is also familiar for us in our American culture, because if you look at the Blue Cross Blue Shield symbol, you'll see a symbol with a snake wrapped around it, which is an embodiment of Asclepius and Serapis from the Egyptian god. Big picture, what I'm getting at is this the first time God would have used a pagan symbol to draw attention to himself? Because even God, Christ would say, taking again with John 12, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And again, he says, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. So it's giving us the symbol, but the symbol can still be used as a means to Christ in terms of his him coming into the world, and that he's come to redeem man and to create relationship with man. So with Christians, we can take – now, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to – you know, I understand that there are Christians who feel convicted where they're not comfortable celebrating. That's perfectly fine, and I'm not going to, you know, in any way condemn or have any ill thoughts toward that group. That's perfectly understandable. But there's a degree of freedom we can take for those who wish to celebrate it, knowing if I lift Christ up during this time – so if I take my Christmas tree and say, hey, with this, I can use this pagan symbol just like Christ would use it in the wilderness in Moses' time – to still draw attention to Christ, we can still that still can be accomplished, where Christ can still be glorified and at the center of all that we do. So it's a tough conversation for us to have, because you know you're trying to disassociate so much of the paganistic ideologies and concepts, and still trying to blend it in with Christ. But what you do is use it as a point of, let me now steer this to where you understand that Christ is the one to be glorified, even in my Christmas tree that I put up, or even in the decorations I put up, that there's a Christological message or a Christ-centered message at the center of all of this.
Oh, yeah. I agree that Christ should be worshipped, and I think we should be glad that he came, because had he not come, we'd have been in a whole lot of trouble. See you have someone who wants to ask a question or make a comment. Caller, you're on with Pastor Sterling.
Well, hello, Jenny White. How are you?
Hi, Miss Terry from Texas. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hi, Pastor Sterling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm calling from Texas. I'm great. Listen, I have a question off topic, and I know you're talking about the Christmas time, but what about the pastors who say, hey, I need a jet plane. I already have a few, but I need a more modern jet so that I can, meet the needs of the people, but I can't fly commercials because of the people. So in the whole giving spirit, what do you think about that, sir?
You know, it's so funny. Like, here's how I'll answer that. To me, the model I lean on or borrow from are both from the prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament. And if you really examine their stories and their narratives, they didn't travel with the highest of luxury at their disposal. Paul would say, I was shipwrecked. I would go through various traumas.
Right.
Hebrews 11 would say how there would be prophets who would wander toward the latter end of that chapter. There would be prophets who would be destituted, wandering in the wilderness. John the Baptist, we read his story where he was in the wilderness with clothes of camel skin, eating locusts and wild honey. So to that point, even in the word, here's this concept, even if in the word witness, the word witness in the Greek stems from the Greek word martyr. And that's exactly what it means. And it means basically one who gives his life for the cause of Christ. So now what is happening is, not what you brought up, is not only have we made a prophecy since Christmas, but now what I believe what you're really having is a group of people. When you talk about, and let me, if I recall, I think it was one of the preachers, I believe it was either Creflo or Copeland, who once said, God doesn't hear me if I fly in coach. He only hears me if I fly in private jet. You know, one of the men said that.
And I didn't hear that one. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, God doesn't hear my prayers if I fly in coach. So, so what has happened is now, not only has we commercialized and made a big profit from the Christmas holiday, now you're dealing with a group that basically has made, and James talks about this, of those who've made their riches, basically, I call it, and this may not be politically correct, I call it pimping the church. They have pimped the church society in terms of gaining all these monetary gains and things of that nature.
But it's far, it does seem a little strange.
Yeah, it's a far consequence. Because even Jesus would say, in Luke 9, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. It's
right.
Like now we've transitioned that to now we need these first-class accommodations, and that's a far cry from what the apostles and what Jesus would have been doing when they were going through their ministry. So it's amazing how we have flipped that and turned that into our modern-day culture.
I think we have to be humble in whatever we do. We can amass a fortune, but you know what? It can be gone with the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
So, Terry, I don't know. I don't go to a church where the pastor asks for an airplane. I think I'd have to leave if he did, because I tell him I want one too. But anyway. Some people go over the top. They go over the top. They want, So who's going to fly the plane when they're gone? But you know what? I have to let... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, I just say I have to leave stuff like that up to God, just like politics. I don't worry about your president, because one thing I do know is that God is in charge. God has him in there for a specific reason. When he gets done with doing what God has put him in there to do, he'll be gone. So I don't know how much he's going to mess up before he leaves, because he's doing a great job. He's doing a great job now. So, there's no sense in me getting all upset, because there's nothing I can do about that but pray and keep it moving. Because God takes care of his people. So you have to know that. So we're not going to worry about them people that want airplanes, because they won't get my dollar. Are you good, Miss Terry?
Yes.
Miss Terry,
yes,
are you riding,
yes,
driving?
I am riding, yes. I am trying to make it home.
Okay, well,
so if God say the same, I'll be at the house.
I think he'll say the same. We pray that you get home safely. Get off the phone, please.
Oh, you know, you're on my car phone, baby.
Oh, okay. That's
good. Because I was going for a car phone.
All right, Miss Terry.
But thank you so much. I've enjoyed the show.
Okay,
thank you
for calling in. All right.
No worries.
Tess.
Good night.
Good night. Have a great holiday, baby. Love you.
Yes, ma'am. Love you, too. Bye, you guys.
Bye-bye. We have another person who wants to talk to you. Okay, you're online with Pastor Sterling. Listener.
And how are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
Just fine. There are two things I want to say. I heard the program earlier in regards to suicide. I have been really upset. Last Christmas at one of the mega churches here, they had a piano player. And I'm telling you, he could walk that piano. It was beautiful the way that the Christmas program. I mean, he played that piano. He made it walk, talk, dance, everything.
All right.
And then this year, I heard that he committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
I heard that. I said, you know, and I'm wondering, I said, Lord, what type of people are we as the body of Christ raising up? You know, I'm not looking down on him, but how come we are not able to focus in on the problems that people have that would bring them to the point where they say it's not worth being here? And I mean, the man was over the top, young person, as far as playing the piano. The Christmas music, it was just sensational. But yet this year he committed suicide. What is wrong? You know, you have to do some heart searching if you care about the things of the Lord. Where have we failed this young man? What is that bothering him? You know, that bothered him. I mean, it was beautiful. It was beautiful the way he played that piano. And the music, he was featured. Go ahead.
No, I would just say to that, Lucy, that's very tragic, to say the least. The biggest thing we get caught up in, Lucy, is and Jenny, is the idea that we really believe that I am my gift. And the problem that we sometimes deal with is, I am not my gift. The gift is what God has given me to live. But at the core of who I am, there's still a lot of me that still has to be reconciled. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to be honest with you. I think with our churched, and I use the term churched culture, specifically here in the U.S. that we're so surrounded by, there's not a lot of dialogue and discussion of what actually is truly our pain, the root cause. We get so caught up, really, and this is not to pick on any one church. This is just as in many cases, we get so caught up with the outlook of how a service may look, and we think that church is great because they can execute a great service. That church looks awesome because the way their service looks, it is really great. And then what we really don't understand is that at the core, there may be people, as you talked, as this young man seems, who is really hurting, who are really going through really tough issues and tough concerns. And I think we get so caught up with the perfect church service where we sometimes gloss over the actual ministry that's needed for the people that are coming through those doors. It's a shame because it sounds like this man was in the church and playing playing piano. And then all this time there, he felt, I'm only here to function in my gift. I'm a piano player. That's all I am. And whatever pain I have. And it's unfortunate he couldn't talk. I don't know if he felt he could talk it out with anybody. But that's something that we really have to dialogue more, that in the midst of those who are sharing our gifts, being able to freely talk, as the Bible says in James 5:16, that we confess our faults, or that we confess with the pain that we might be healed. And I think there's a lot that this young man seems to be, because I read the article too, that he was struggling with in the midst, and thought that probably was thought being told, you're so much your gift, not knowing the gift is what you are, but there's still a lot of you that still has to be reconciled to Christ in a means where you can be at peace with yourself. So it's a tough thing to try to work with. And it's not really an easy answer, because what you have to deal with is a young man who has a loss of life, out really with so many questions in terms of what surrounded this young man's situation and what he was going through.
Amen. Another thanks, Pastor Lowe. Another comment I wanted to make. We're talking about buying airplanes and things of that nature. Just was it this week or last week? I had to hate to say it. There was an issue that came. I got up out of bed looking at television. They had it flashed across the screen. A pastor, you know, buys his wife what's it called? Like, it's a Lamborghini, $200,000. It was an uproar. As to what he intended of the remarks of this pastor, he said, look, he said, what you should worry about, did I use the church's money to buy it? He said, no, I didn't. This is what I'm giving to my wife out of my own pocket. And so we were discussing it at one of our, at my sister's house. And we came up, he said, but look how insensitive it is. Here we have people who can't pay their lights and gas and things of that nature. But this is what we're doing, you know. There were a lot of people around the Christ who were rich people, you know. Matthew was a tax collector, you know. We know about, what's his name?
Judas was stealing. Climbed
up the sycamore tree. A lot of women supported his ministry, okay? Lydia was a seller of purple, things of that nature. People had money during that time, and they gave, you know, they held their goods in common. I don't think it was a practice that really lasted long, but he held their goods in common.
Judas was a thief.
He
had a little.
And I keep
popping
on the thing that, yeah, one of the bills that the Lord Jesus had to pay was some type of tax if he went to the mouth of a fish.
Right.
And told him to go get it and pay that bill, you know, all of this, you know, although they did have a treasury and people that did support him. But it looks like it's, I hear a lot of my secular friends, when you try to talk to them about the Lord, they say, well, those people, they're just selling Christ. They're selling religion. That's all they look at it as a business deal. They're selling religion. That's what it is. And I know this person, this pastor who did this, he has a 22,000-member church, Body of Christ. And he said, you should worry about, did it come out of the church's money? No, it didn't. This is what
well,
I have.
In a roundabout way, it probably did, because if it came out of his salary, and his salary comes from the church, and the people, so, you know. But, that's okay if you want to ride around in that and not be afraid that when you go to the gas pump that somebody going to walk up behind you and ask you for the keys. And, you know, if you want to do all of that, hey, you know, go
it
ahead.
Is. But saying that we're putting a part that's insensitive, you know, not sensitive to the needs of the
feeding the homeless, he could have taken that and fed a whole bunch of people. Maybe he could have created some kind of residence so he could house some folks. I mean, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff you can do.
Well, you know what's so funny with that is because
that's him, and he has to deal with that. I don't have a comment on
that.
Because
it makes people drive the car. Go ahead.
No, all I was going to say with that is that you'd be amazed of how much I think we really don't take this into account. How often Christ would emphasize the message to the people, share what you have.
Two coats, give me one. Yeah, all of that.
Share what you have. You know, even he'll say freely give what you have freely received. The idea is that really, if you look, looked at, and Lucy, I know you and I talk personally, you know the Old Testament, how even God even had provision for the poor, in that even for the poor, they would be provided for so they could at least at minimum eat and be cared for in some capacity.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that we have prayed, and I'm talking about P-R-E-Y, prayed so much on the poor, and I'm talking about both church and society, and I'm not saying church,
yeah.
I take that back, certain churches and society, I'm so sorry about that, they have prayed so much on the people in terms of their resources, where it's no longer a thing of sharing what you have, but now let me get from what I can from this group of people. It's funny because, as I said, I think it's ridiculous that I was, you know, advised of this, that there's certain churches that are out there that request your W-2s before you join that church. And it's like, are you
serious? Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that.
Yeah, I said that when I heard that, I wish I might. Yeah, because that really, you know, what you give, what you're able to share is not so much to go for the benefit of the pastor or for the benefit of anybody. It's for the benefit of the sharing for the community. So there's no one who is without, no one who, no one, and I'm not talking about just the pastor, but no one. You said earlier, Lucy, that the goods are shared amongst each other. So if I have a hundred in my pocket and all of us could eat, that's what God, with the church, that's what God really truly intended, where he says, hey, not just one of you be fed, but all of you be cared for, and that you're able to be cared for amongst the body. That was always the intent. So, yeah, God always provides the rich people, the rich, but the rich never was encouraged to just keep it for themselves, but it's more so, let's share so all needs are met. And that's really what has been lost in this.
That is true. Thanks so much, Pastor Lowe.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Lucy.
You good, Miss Payne?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay, then. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And what I'd like to say is time has really flown. If you would like to ask Pastor Love a question or make a comment, now would be the time. We're going to take one last break, and then we'll be back. Pastor Love's final thoughts.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook, on tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cook. You can find me at carlacook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. All-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back. This has been the Jenny White Show. Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. And we're talking about the commercialization of Christmas and a lot of other things. And I would like for Pastor Sterling to give us his final thoughts. That time went by really quickly to me. I don't know about you, but it did. I appreciate you being my guest tonight, and you listeners that called in, you may not have asked a question or made a statement, but you still called in to listen. I appreciate you as well. So, Pastor Love, you got it.
All I'll say is it's amazing. One of the things we could really celebrate for Christmas is how Christ came and the containment of his glory. And let me explain. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 19, verses 11, starting at verse 11, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and I behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Fast forward to verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and that he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This is the picture of the Christ that's glorified. This is the picture of really of who Christ really is. And I find it amazing that for Christ to come and contained his glory so that man, and let me clarify that, he contained his glory in flesh so that man can relate to him.
Right.
It's amazing because this Christ we see that's coming in Revelation 19, this Christ comes to make war. We wouldn't be able to comprehend this Christ. We wouldn't be able to approach this Christ. We wouldn't be able to approach or to even have conversation with this Christ in our sinful flesh, because we would just in line be judgment with in judgment just like any other sinner. But what happened is, what Christ would do, he would contain his glory. He would contain all of who he is, and that he was still God. But what we have to understand is Christ contained this all in the flesh. One, that he would be beaten and bruised and suffer a cruel death, but also that man might come to know him. And it's amazing that we should take Christmas to really understand, Christ, we thank you for containing your glory so that we can relate to you. So as we see you as that baby in the manger, as we see you as that man who walks the earth, even as some may recognize him as the Christ who was indeed crucified and the Christ now who's resurrected, ultimately we want to recognize that Christ truly is God, who has come in the flesh and has contained his glory so that we can relate to him. So as we celebrate the holiday season, just being thankful that God, Lord, we thank you for containing all who you are, because we wouldn't have been able to comprehend it or even understand it. But, Lord, we thank you that in your containing who you are, we can relate to you in terms of your being bringing us into right relationships. So we are thankful for that.
Yes, we are. And I'd like to read something before you go. If you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right there where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You'll have to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, you'll find I'm waiting there for you. You're the one I want to be with. You're the reason that I came. And you'll find me in the stillness as I'm whispering your name. Love, Jesus. And with that, I will wish everyone to have a blessed Christmas. And, I got one more week. I started to say I'd talk with you next year, but I have one more week. But
well,
I wish everyone, I thank you for calling. I thank you, Pastor Love, for being my guest. And, everybody, I wish you a merry, merry, merry Christmas. And let's hang out with our families and let's love on some folks. You know, it's not always about us. Let's try to help someone else. And with that being said, I'll say good night.